This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV for Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. I'm Derek Gilbert. If my diction is a little slurred today, it's because I had dental work this morning and the Novocaine hasn't completely worn off yet. So I trust you'll bear with me because we've got a special guest to talk about a really historic event that I am remiss in not having discussed earlier this week, but glad to have him on because he's an expert in geopolitics, military affairs, and he analyzes things through a biblical worldview. He is the author of a number of books that we recommend from Defender Publishing, including Alliance of Evil, Kings of the East, and Divided We Stand. We are honored to welcome back to the program Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis. Bob, Vladimir Putin won his election again. Surprise, surprise. He's been in power in Russia essentially since 1999 on a de facto basis, president from 2000 to 2008. Took 4 years off to serve as prime minister while they changed the constitution. Now he's back as president from 2012 to the present day, serving another term. How does this affect global affairs?
Well, it does affect global affairs. As we've seen, the war in Ukraine has impacted not only the United States in terms of armaments that we've been providing, certainly has caused domestic, strife here. Europe is, of course, rearming. Just in the last couple of years, we've seen skyrocketing defense spending across the world. Just in the since 2020 or 2013, we've seen a significant increase uptick to about $2.3 trillion of defense spending. So, yes, people are nervous because tyrants like Putin are beginning to wrestle control of large swaths of the world. And of course, Mr. Putin, after his inauguration for his fifth term, will be heading toward China. And of course, he's established a relationship with President Xi of China that tracks back more than 40 face-to-face visits over the last number of years. Now, keep in mind their trade is up. They have agreed that there's no holds bar in their relationship. Their relationship is very good. They have a different worldview than many of us, and that worldview has to do with less democracy and more tyranny across the world. So this is going to shape and reshape the world going forward. And a lot depends upon who in the United States becomes the next president and then goes forward for the next 4, 8, however many years. So there's a lot at stake here, Derek. Yes, Mr. Putin was reelected, perhaps not surprisingly, by 87% of the vote. They spent the last couple of years aggressively going after opponents. You recall here recently the death in a Siberian death camp of Navalny, who, of course, mysteriously, just died after being physically active moments before. It probably was a poisoning, something that he had been subjected to in Russia a couple of years ago. So Mr. Putin was able to bring the administrative state into tow. He used local administrations in the provinces to, tout his wares. And now what we can expect going forward is not only a stronger relationship with China, but, the war in Ukraine is definitely going to, continue. He just said the other night that they will build a buffer zone between Russia and Ukraine. Now, that necessarily is not going to preclude further fighting that would perhaps push toward Kyiv after more than 2 years of this war. What I think is of most concern is the Baltics, the Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and of course, even Poland and the Bulgarians and the Hungarians are concerned that the war in Ukraine could very well spill over. Now, the foreign minister of Lithuania said just a couple of days ago that he expects it's going to take a couple of years. Now, why did he say that? Well, one of the outcomes of the election of Putin will likely be the further mobilization of reservists. In other words, swelling the ranks of their military, because they've taken, dramatic losses. Some estimate as high as 300,000 killed and wounded Russians as a result of the fight with the Ukrainians. Now, at the same time, he has lit a fire under their military industrial complex and made that a priority. And so they're starting to, produce more missiles and artillery shells and tanks and the like, almost on a war footing. That would suggest that not just the Ukraine fight, but I think a more broad-based fight, perhaps against Europe. Now, why? Well, he feels, Putin that is, feels threatened to a certain degree by the likes of what President Macron said the other day, and that is that Russia must not win this fight in Ukraine, and that U.S. NATO forces might have to be sent in. And of course, Putin responded by rattling his nuclear saber once again, something that he has used off and on for the last 2 years. So the unrest that we are seeing, I would argue, in Eastern Europe is something that is spreading elsewhere in Europe and is having a instability impact across much of the world. And we would argue that what's happening in the Mideast is partially a byproduct, and certainly the instability we're seeing in East Asia is an issue. So there's a lot that's going on here. And, I know here at home we're concerned about a lot of very corrupt politicians doing things out of the, the White House. However, internationally, things are really coming unwrapped here much faster than many of us thought it was possible.
The a number of moving parts here that may fit together. There was a report last week that China was funding socialist organizations that were responsible for some of the violent protests in 2020, trying to destabilize the United States from within. Certainly, this is something that nation states do to one another. It's kind of what intelligence agencies, at least some of the more secretive agencies, are tasked with doing. We've also got the breakaway region of Moldova on the west side of Ukraine, Transnistria, appealing to Russia for help, and the Russian Federation and the nation of Russia responding positively to that request. You mentioned East Asia. Of course, Taiwan is a big question, China wanting to reintegrate that into the country. And while this is going on, we've got the growth of the BRICS economic bloc: Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, but now including Saudi Arabia, Egypt, perhaps to include other nations as well with that are rich in natural resources. Are we seeing, between all of these various aspects of things happening around the world geopolitically, are we seeing the early stages of World War III?
Yeah, it's possible. Let me pick that apart to a certain degree. Moldova, of course, Transnistria has had since the end of the Cold War upward to 2,000 Russian troops stationed there. So the eastern province of Moldova, which is a tiny country, has always had Soviet-era displays and Russian troops patrolling the streets. So it would be relatively easy for Moscow to use those troops to instigate a takeover of Moldova. Now, I know the prime minister in Moldova recently, has asked for EU and NATO membership. That's unlikely, though. They're on the course, a multi-decade course, perhaps, to try to gain that. But they recognize, having seen here recently Iskander rockets striking Odessa, which is only a few miles from the Moldovan coast and the Moldova, that they recognize that Russia is a serious problem. And so I would imagine Moldova, of all the countries, might be the first to crumble if, in fact, Putin continues his rampage. BRICS, interestingly, India is among those countries, and it was India and China, North Korea, and others that celebrated the re-election of Mr. Putin here this past weekend. And of course, many of the Western countries recognize the undemocratic repression that has brought him and keeps him into power. So BRICS is an alternative, perhaps to the IMF, to the EU and other international organizations that have tended to have more of a democratic approach. But that's not surprising because you have the likes of President Xi and China using the mechanism of BRICS, but also the Belt and Road Initiative and other initiatives around the world to really try to reconstruct a world order, one that was put in place after World War II and at the end of the Cold War got an acceleration. But things are beginning to shift as we see the likes of Xi and Putin and others to solidify their power and authority and their influence around the world. So these are significant issues that we, the United States and the West and our allies in Asia or wherever they are in the world, need to come to grips with. Otherwise, we could easily stumble into a very hostile environment and perhaps another world war.
One final question, Bob, and I know this is not something that you can answer in a minute or two, but if there's a way to summarize this, if you were to become the next president of the United States, facing the situation in Eastern Europe and East Asia, what would your course of action be?
Well, there are a number of geopolitical and domestic issues. You know, we've drained our arsenal, so we have to get our industry in gear to replenish that and to get ready should there be a hostile response across the world. We need to recognize that we need to align strongly with our allies, not like the Biden administration giving a stiff arm to Netanyahu and the Israelis. We need to be very firm with the Western European allies that we're with them. And then, of course, in Asia, I know working with the Japanese, Filipinos, Koreans, and even the Taiwanese, they see a China that is an emergent, very dangerous China that is trying to gobble up that entire region before it goes on a rampage around the world. These are diplomatically challenges that this administration under Biden has radically failed. And of course, his messages have sent a chill down many of our backs. And our allies are very reasonably questioning whether or not the United States is going to stand with them should these tyrants of Russia, China, and others really go after them and try to change the world order, much less their own freedoms going forward. So we're in a very precarious time, I'd argue, Derek.
Pray. I think as Christians, that is job one, and look for our, look up for redemption draws near, but the road between here and there may not be an easy one. Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, author of Alliance of Evil Kings of the East, Divided We Stand, and we know that you'll be here in the Ozarks very soon. We look forward to seeing you when you get here. And Bob, thanks again for your time today.
Thank you, Derek. Have a great day.
Colonel McGinnis has a forthcoming book on the UFO phenomenon you will not want to miss. Watch for those programs coming up later this spring from Skywatch TV. Straight ahead, details on how you can join us in Israel. Sharon and me putting together a solidarity mission to stand shoulder to shoulder with Israel during this time. And good news on the Skywatch TV virtual conference. You haven't lost any time yet. Details straight ahead on 5 and 10.
There is an all-out war being waged on the minds of an entire generation of today's young people.
State lawmakers are now questioning how 70 foster kids can go missing.
They have convinced us in the West that children are a burden. Birth rates are below replacement levels just about everywhere in the Northern Hemisphere.
People would have to be utterly blind or insane not to recognize the current heartbreaking onslaught against our most vulnerable citizens our children.
Children who have been thrown up against walls and locked in closets. Children who hide under their beds in fear and whose nightmares are real. Children who have been beaten with 2x4s, whipped with bicycle chains, and burned with cigarette butts.
Children living in foster care are 4 to 5 times more likely to commit suicide than those who are not.
An agenda to submit our current generation of children to a fate far worse than death is being carried out.
I was 5 years old. I was doing dishes. My mom was so mad. She had picked up one of the steak knives and shoved it through my hand and just walked away.
Who will stand in the gap for these children? These are real lives.
SkyWatch TV's virtual conference, Countering the Darkness, is on now. Now, this did go live to the web on February 29th. When I say live, access was released to the video content. You set the conference schedule. These are pre-recorded video presentations, including the final presentation for SkyWatch TV by Dr. Tom Horn, recorded before he became ill last fall and was called home by the Lord. Other presenters, well, it's a list of cutting-edge presenters, theologians, preachers, and encouragers. Don't miss it. Take advantage of it now. You get 90 days access from the time you sign up, so you haven't lost any time yet, but take advantage of this today. Not only do you get 24 cutting-edge presentations on the times in which we live, you get access as a free bonus to all 6 feature-length SkyWatch Films documentaries. More information and registration online at defenderconference.com. Look at the lower third. Don't listen to me. Defenderconference.com. This week on SkyWatch TV, we begin a series of programs about the forthcoming docuseries Rescue Us, which deals with children at risk and why we do what we do at SkyWatch TV and at Whispering Ponies Ranch. This week, as part of the program, you find out the backstory behind Tom and Nita Horn. How did they meet? Tom trying to impress this beautiful young lady. It's actually a very funny and heartwarming story. Don't miss it. You can watch it right now at skywatchtv.com. You can watch it over the air. Our broadcast schedule posted skywatchtv.com/channels. It's available on our Roku and Apple TV channels as well. If you have a set-top box, please make sure you've got the SkyWatch TV app installed. And, of course, you can catch it at Rumble, rumble.com/SkyWatchTV. They haven't canceled us yet, but better yet, get our free mobile app. This brings all of our video content right to you and adds as an extra bonus additional features like an audio Bible with multiple translations, calendar of our upcoming events, and more. There's even a place in the app to donate if you are so led. It's available for iOS, Android, and Amazon Kindle Fire phones and tablets. It is free. And we have links to their app stores at our website, skywatchtv.com. Now, in early May, Sharon and I are planning a solidarity mission to Israel. This is a one-week tour of Israel to visit sites connected to the October 7th attack. We will visit Sderot, the town in the Negev where the police station was besieged by Hamas terrorists, a couple of the kibbutzim that also were overrun by the terrorists. And while we're there in the Negev, we'll have a barbecue with IDF soldiers, show our support. We'll go to Tel Aviv, visit Hostage Square, visit an exhibit based on the Nova Music Festival. That's the music festival where the paragliders from Hamas floated in and took a number of them, number of the young people captive. We'll also visit some of the sites in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is still open for business. It is safe, secure, and we will take you to the Temple Mount, to the Mount of Olives, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and we'll visit the Western Wall for prayers on Shabbat. We'll also take you to the historic crucifixion site and the resurrection site of Jesus, the tomb, the actual burial tomb, based on the research of our good friend, Messianic Rabbi Zev Porat. Please join us. Find out more information at our website, gilberthouse.org/travel. Now, remember, this is not a SkyWatch TV event, but Joe Horn giving me permission very kindly to talk about this. gilberthouse.org/travel has details and a link for the Lipkin Tours website, where you can sign up to join us. This will be a small group, no more than about 24 people, and we pray that you'll consider joining us May 6th through 13th in the Holy Land. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is 5 in 10 from SkyWatch TV.